basically a review of the book, but gave you some sort of an advantage of what was going to be on the real test. And so if you were really good, if you were quick, you could memorize the answers for the self-test. And then hopefully you could take the test the same day. If you ever did the self-test on like a Friday, and then my school was off Saturday, Sunday, Monday, you didn't come back till Tuesday. As a kid, if you took that self-test on Friday, and then you turned that pace in, and they were going to give you the test on Tuesday morning when you showed up, I was destined to fail. Because my memory couldn't last 3 days. My memory would last really good, 20, 30 minutes. I could memorize all those answers. Yep, that's that. As I got into high school, it got harder. It took longer. I had to take those, the biology, the chemistry, all those things. I had to take longer memorizing those things. And that was one of the downfalls of the education process. Great education, but one of the downfalls of it was that you could memorize it. But it made tests easy. And then I got to college. And I hope that there's no lightning strikes here today. But, in Bible school, there's kids. You got freshmen and sophomore and juniors and seniors, and everybody shares the same dorm. And inevitably, in the hard classes at Bible school, which there was only a couple, like Old Testament survey with James Littles, there was always kids on the floor asking, "Hey, do you got any copies of the test from last year? Anybody got a copy of a test? We're just trying to prep ourselves for the type of questions he's going to ask. Do you think he was smart enough or stupid enough to use the same test too? No. Well, I don't know what we were thinking, but, somebody knocked on my door. Hey, in 201, they're going over last year's test. We hated tests. Nobody likes tests. I still despise tests. A few years ago, I had to go get a pesticide license. And they sent me, I ordered a book. The book was maybe 40 pages, 50 pages. And there was a test at each end of every chapter about application and types of pesticides and when to use them and weather conditions. There was all these chapters, and I would read them and I would take the test. And I got really good. I did the whole ACE thing. I memorized it. And then I drove to Olympia and I went up in one of those buildings and they handed me my test and they locked me in a room and I opened it up and I started. There was nothing on that test that was even remotely close to anything I had studied in that book. They were twisting words around and asking questions backwards, and I'm like, I am too old for this. You guys need to keep it simple. I came here to pass this test, not fail it. Other people everybody went to school with one of those kids that never studied for anything. They just sit down and they'd take tests and they just, it was like, it was no big deal. Man, I had to have extra pencils when I took tests because I sweated so badly during my test that I would soak pencil lead. I couldn't write anymore. I hated tests. It stressed me out. I just did what I had to do to get through. And as I get older, we talk a lot in the kingdom of God about tests. We usually use the term test and trials. And as you get older, the test turned from notebook paper in front of you and maybe a paper that you have to write to the Lord allowing you to go through things and testing you in certain situations and testing your character, testing your patience, testing your honesty, testing your moral fiber. All these things come around, and his intent is, the whole intent with a test is to see, have you learned anything? In that book that you read, in this class, in this lecture that you've been sitting through, did you grasp anything that I was telling you about? Let me give you a test and find out. With my job, I have to travel around to these different factories and agencies and we have to sit through. They want you to come and sit in their facility, and they generally have nice big facilities like this, and there's lots of nice tables and chairs set up, and they want to talk to you about their products. They want to talk to you about their processes and their technology, and so they'll have a little kitchen off to the side that's stocked full of just all kinds of ungodly goodies and ice cream, and they're bribing you to come and sit there, but everybody knows that there's no test at the end of it. And so we eat the ice cream, we surf the web, we send emails, and the smart manufacturers block Wi-Fi and cell service in those rooms. So you have to pay attention. I went to one training here a couple years ago, and a man had, he opened up, man, there's all kinds of lightning that struck this place today. He opened up a case of poker chips. And he had an iPad, a brand new iPad sitting there in the box. He had a brand new pair of Beats headphones in the box, Beats wireless headphones. He had a brand new GoPro. He had all these things setting up on the table there. And he said, every time I ask a question, if you answer it properly, I'm going to give you a chip. And the person with the most chips gets to pick which of these gifts he wants. I'm telling you what. There weren't very many trips to the snack bar in that training because everybody had something up there they were looking at and eyeballing, and people were. And then if you asked a question, he would give you two chips. And there, oh man, it was a free-for-all. But people were engaged. But if there's no test, what reason is there to engage in anything? What reason is there to learn from the process if there's not a test? Go to the book of John, please, Brother Kendrick. John chapter 6. And we can start reading in verse 1. I only put down verse 5, but let's start reading in verse 1. It's only four extra verses. John chapter 6 and verse 5. Or I'm sorry, verse 1. I'm looking at verse 5. Verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, everybody say Philip. Now, Philip's been walking with Jesus. He was seeing the great miracles, the signs, and the wonders, and he's been a part of this whole entourage that's following Jesus. And Jesus, according to the scripture, doesn't post this question to the multitude. I hate this. Nothing like getting called out. Nothing like the teacher catching you or the lecturer catching you on your phone surfing the net. So, Nick, what's the foot candles or the Kelvin temperature of the... Look, eyes scanning the whiteboard quickly. What did you say? I hate that. Because sometimes you drift off. I mean, after 8 hours, how are you supposed to pay attention? And here's Philip. He's been there. He's dancing around with everybody. Woo! Everything's good. He's experiencing the miracles and the crowds, and there's celebrities everywhere they go. The throngs are following them, and they're getting one-on-one time with Jesus on the mountaintops and in all these encounters. And Philip's just woo, just one of the crew here. Got my badge. Got my staff badge. I'm here. I'm cleared. You know, if it was modern day, they'd have their lanyards and backstage passes. They were part of the team. And Jesus calls Philip out. And he goes, hey, Passover's coming. We got a crown. It's about time to eat. Where are we going to buy bread at, Philip? I'm going to read verse 5 to you in the New Living Translation because I like what it says better. Jesus soon saw a huge crowd of people coming to look for him. Turning to Philip, he asked, where can we buy bread to feed all these people? He was testing Philip, for he already knew what he was going to do. The King James Version said he said it to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Well, that seems ridiculous. If you knew what you were going to do, then why did you ask Philip what to do? It's the same reason that the teacher who knows the answer to 2 + 2 asks little Johnny in first grade when they're learning their math tables, Johnny, what's 2 + 2? Is it because the teacher doesn't know? No, the teacher knows, but he wants to know, do you know what 2 + 2 is? And so in this encounter with Philip, he says, Philip, where are we going to buy bread? Jesus knew where the bread was going to come from. He knew what was going to happen. Go on to verse 7. Verse 7. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Wrong answer. This must be the day of confession. Well, I've been tasked. One of our manufacturers started this website called Acuity Academy. And they started this website where you have to create a login name, password, all that. You sign in, and you have to watch videos. And then at the end of every video is a test. Well, they started a contest in the company of whoever could watch the most videos would get a $1,000 bonus. And so, you know, the first day I watched a video, I took the test. Second day I watched a video and took the test. And then they had an update email went out from HR on who was doing what. There were people that had, in 2 days, had watched 30 videos. And I'm going, what in the world? I got mad. I was sitting in there in my office. I got so mad. I was like, what in the world? So I started playing around with them. You know what them cats were doing? They had figured out that these videos were actually just PowerPoint videos and that you could hit next, 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 and just go all the way to the end of the video. After the end of the video, the test popped up. Well, you could take the test and fail it as many times as you want. And they were only 5-question tests, so you could memorize what the question was on the previous one. They were just sitting at their desk up in Seattle just taking test after test after test and failing it multiple times. I blew that up like a bomb. I replied to all the entire company, I know what you're doing. I figured it out. You need to stop now. Philip, you got the wrong answer. You failed the test. This was a test. God wanted to know, have you learned anything? Is there anything going on up here? Anything that you're seeing, anything that you're perceiving? Is it sinking in? And here's the important thing that the Holy Ghost began to talk to me about the last couple of days regarding these scriptures. The longer you live for God, the more tests there's going to be. Just get ready. If you're new in church, get ready. There's going to be tests. If you've been around for a while, raise your hand and say hallelujah because you've endured some tests. And the fact that you're here today means you passed some tests. All of us, including myself, got some subjects we're going to have to go back and redo. Thank God it's just not an entire grade. But all of us have tests. All of us face testing. All of us face trials. All of us face questions. Why, God? Why is this happening to me? What is the purpose for this? Why are you asking me to endure this? Why have you put this heaviness on me? Why am I living under this burden? Why is it that I'm having to face this? What is going on? But I'm telling you today, I rest assured I have a confidence from the scripture that there isn't a test he gives you that there isn't the answer for. He's got an answer key in heaven. And he already knows the outcome. He already has a plan for the test. There's a passing grade. The scripture says it this way, that there's no temptation given to man that he wasn't already aware of, that he himself didn't face, and with every temptation or test that he puts on us, he also, with that temptation, provides a way of escape. There is an answer to your problem. There's an answer. I used to get so angry. I hated math word problems. I like math. I hate math word problems. I get, man, Just put numbers on the page. You start putting words mixed with numbers, you mess me up. It's either English or math, one of the two. And sometimes the people who wrote those word problems, their English was terrible. In my estimation. And I remember sitting there, there is no answer to this question. I remember arguments with my supervisor. The score key is wrong. But there is an answer to it. We find ourselves surrounded by a test, a temptation, a trial, and we say, there is possibly no answer to this. This is seemingly life-ending. This is process-ending for me. But I'm telling you today with the confidence that there is an answer. There's a right answer to the test. And he knows what it is. He's got the answer in his hand. The answer is in his keeping. That's why it's so important that I stay close to him. Because there's not a test that he gives me that he isn't right there saying there's a right answer to this. I've showed you this. There's not a question. There's not a question that crosses my mind. This is important. There's not a question that haunts my mind in the supposed to be sleeping hours of the night. There's not a question that can haunt my mind in the loneliest, darkest hours of daylight. There is not a question under heaven, for the scripture says, according to the book of Ecclesiastes, that there's nothing new under the heaven. And Brother Heiner talked about Wednesday night that there's a season for everything. He's got an answer to every question of life. Whatever it is, why did you allow this to happen to me? He's got an answer. Why are you allowing me to go through this? He's got an answer. Why is it that this is coming at this time and this day and this? He's got an answer for that.
Right. Yes. Amen.
You know why that's so hard for us? Because we spend a lot of time in life and we're programmed in life to find the answer to things, solve things, figure things out. Because everybody here in this room today, we're very smart people. And if we're not careful, we can rely so much on our human intelligence that we start trying to make A squared plus B squared equals C squared spiritually. And we start looking at things and, well, yeah, you know, I can see, I guess this is what this is about. I guess all those things that I did bad for all those years have finally caught up with me, and that's what this is about, so I'm just going to accept this. No, that's the enemy's answer. The Lord's answer is, he that endureth till the end, the same shall be saved. That's God's answer. God's answer is, hold on. God's answer is, don't give up. God's answer is, don't give in. There is a plan. Yes, I know amidst all this chaos, I have a purpose. Then there's temptation. And all of us in the room today have faced different types, different levels of temptation. Temptation comes in many different forms. We, you know, in church we say, temptation, and we automatically go to sexual sins. Right? That's the first thing we think of. We think of temptation. But you know, the enemy can tempt us, and the Lord can allow temptation in our lives towards bitterness, hatred, lust, envy. The scripture says there, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And they list 17. I'm not going to list them all today. You know, adultery, fornication, lasciviousness. All those. I'm not going to list them all. 17 works of the flesh, which are manifest, which are working. All of those things work as temptations to us. Each one of them attack our weaknesses. They attempt to distract us from the plan and purpose of God. But I'll tell you today that for each temptation, each work of the flesh, each thing that tries to work our flesh, he has an answer to. He provides a way of escape. How many times do we see ourselves as those young children, teenagers, sitting in school with a piece of paper, a calculator, a pencil, an eraser? What do I do? Sometimes that's who we are spiritually. Where Philip said, it would take 100 penny worth and we can even work long enough to... That's who we are. When the proper answer to the question is, Father, I don't know. But here's what I do know. I was there when you turned water to wine. I was there when you caused deaf ears to become unstopped and created the ability to hear. I was there when you cast out unclean spirits. So I don't know what this is about. I don't know what you're going to do, but I believe that you have a plan for my life. I believe that you have a purpose for me. I'm not purposeless. I haven't been abandoned. I'm not out here in this desert all alone by myself. But you, Father, have a plan. You care enough about me that you haven't just wiped me out yet. Oh, some days I wish that you would. Some days I wish you could just deliver me right out of it. You could Enoch style me. Just take me away. I could go like Elisha and just be gone. Just be evaporated right out of my problem, right out of my situation. But the fact that you've kept me here is enough for me to know that you know about me, you care about me, and you have not abandoned me, and you have an answer for it. Amen. He's got an answer for it. Amen. Just stand with me today. What are you in the middle of right now? What question, what turmoil surrounds your life right now? What is it? What situation are you seemingly drowning in? God has an answer for it. Think about this for a second. This is so powerful. Before he asked you to enter into it. See, this is the guy who knows the beginning from the end. He's the author and the finisher. He told Samuel when he was talking to him about Eli and his sons, who the Bible called scoundrels. He said, listen. I know you've seen a bunch of junk, blah, blah, blah. But when I make a beginning, I also make an end. And so you may be in a seeming unending test. You're seemingly in an unending trial. But can I remind you today that the God who started that, the God who allowed you to enter into that, has an end in mind concerning it. He's not just going to leave you hanging out. I remember one time I was struggling with a test so terribly. I was the last kid sitting there. I'd been there for an hour. They even dismissed school. Kids went home. Parents can't pick them up. And I'm still sitting at the testing table. I remember a teacher coming over. Young man. He picked up the test. Handed me my pencil, and he started reading me the answers. He started asking me questions. So he read the question. He says, so this and this. So what do you think that means? I said, well, I think it's this. He goes, all right, write that down. I didn't pass that test by a lot, but I passed it. Sometimes we need the Lord to come alongside us. We got to allow the Lord to come alongside us and help us. Quit trying to figure it out. Quit trying to find all the answers. He knows the answers. He's got it in control. Stop trying to figure it out. Lift your hands and say, Jesus, Jesus, you know the answers. You're the start and you're the finish. You started writing this book, you're going to create an ending to this book. I got a confidence in that today. Listen, the end of a chapter doesn't mean the end of a book. When he gets done, he's done. He puts the end. Let him start another chapter. Don't bail out on the process. Let him start another chapter in the book of your life today. Would you lift your hands all over this room and begin to talk to the Lord from your test? I don't know what your test is. I don't know what your trial is, but you know what he's asking you to go through right now. In your family, on your job, in your home, you know all these things. You know what he's asking. You know what the questions are in your mind. Why, God? Why? What is this? What is happening? You know about those things. Let the Holy Ghost talk to you right now about that stuff. Because he wants to. I'm telling you, his voice is so strong in this room. There's such a witness in the Holy Ghost in this room today. Let him talk to you about that stuff. This altar's open if you want to come to the front. If you want to pray where you're at, you're more than welcome. People, would you take a few minutes? Don't move on from this. Let him bring you an answer. He knows it. He knows the answer. Jesus. Jesus. I want to hear from you, Father. I need an answer to the question in my life. Jesus. You know Jesus. You know Jesus. To trust him. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. I trust you. To take him at his word. Name of Jesus. Why don't you pray for that one nearby you? Somebody standing near you. You don't have to move, but take the hand of somebody standing nearby you. Pray with them. Maybe you know where their test. Maybe you don't know where their test. Maybe you know where the trial. Maybe you know the question. Let the Lord talk to you right now. Let the Lord minister to them through you. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You see the test, Father. You see the trial. About it. You're aware of it, Jesus. You have the answer. There's nothing hidden from your view. In Jesus' name.